Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Well, good morning, church. What a joy it is to be able to speak to you today and to continue our series, Legends and Misfits. Today we're going to consider one of the classic Bible characters, someone that everyone in the globe, I'm sure, has heard of, Noah. We teach our children from an early age about Noah and the flood, and he's got a great lesson for us here today. Now, over these past few weeks, it's been a joy to be able to study some of these Bible characters, and I really believe that God has got a life lesson for you to learn today. Have you heard yourself saying these words over this past while? That just doesn't make sense. I think if we're being truthful, some of the things that we've been asked to do, our first reaction has been, that doesn't make sense. But reality of life is, particularly when you're a follower of God, there's a lot in life that doesn't make sense. In fact, understanding isn't the starting place for following God. Faith is the starting point for following God. This is what the church father, St. Augustine, said. He said, faith is the first step to understanding. Understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, seek not to understand that you may believe, but believe that you may understand. Faith does not require understanding. But I want to tell you today that to please God, you must have faith. That's what Hebrew teaches us. It says that in chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. If you want to be a believer who pleases God, you need to be a person of faith. So how do you trust God when things in life just do not make sense? Now, you're listening and watching this morning or whenever you're catching up with this, and there's a lot in your life that's not making sense at the moment. You're looking ahead into the future and you've got a lot more questions than answers. Well, I believe that Noah teaches us a lesson how we can trust God when life doesn't make sense. In the Bible, in Genesis, we hear of Noah's life story. And at this point, Noah is the only righteous person on earth. The Bible tells us that he's the only one in right relationship with God. Think about that. Everyone around him has forsaken God. The Bible tells us that the thought of every human being was towards evil. And God was sorrowful. And he even said that he regretted putting humankind on the earth. And rather than wiping us all out, he was gracious. And he spoke to Noah, and he gives him this instruction, build an ark and save your family because there's a flood coming and I'm going to start again through you. This is Noah's, that doesn't make sense moment. Think about this. Noah lives in the desert, miles away from any source of water. And God gives him an instruction to build a super ship. Come on, that doesn't make sense. And it took 120 years before the instruction to the fulfillment of the flood coming. That took a long-term commitment. Noah got to a place where he had a moment where life doesn't make sense, and maybe you are there right now. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 this about Noah. It says that by faith, when warned about events not yet seen, in holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By faith, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with his faith. Now, Noah wasn't a saint. He wasn't perfect, but neither are you or me. But what attracted God's grace to Noah? This is what the Bible says about Noah, that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This week I had the honour of taking the service, the funeral service for Jock Byrne. He was a faithful member of our church, and during the service his children all shared a tribute to their father. It was a powerful moment. It was very moving. And afterwards I began to reflect on, well, what would I like my children to say about me when that comes to my point at the end of my life? And if I'm being honest, I started to think firstly the things that I don't want them to say. Things like, oh, he was too busy to spend time with me. I never really knew if he really loved me. All these sort of thoughts went through my head. But actually, I came to the conclusion as studying Noah this week that there's maybe one phrase that I would like my family when I'm gone to glory to say. Daniel walked faithfully with his God. That's how Noah is described. Noah is described as a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with his God. Do you know how you walk with God does not only impact your life, but the people that are all around you, particularly those that are closest. You know, Hebrews told us that he built an ark for the saving of his family, that it was Noah's faith and obedience didn't only save himself, but it had an impact on those that were nearest to him. How you walk with God influences the people that are closest to you. And I want to ask you right at the start, and I'll come to this at the end, what are you building for your family? What are you building for the people that are coming behind you? Those that you are influencing the most. Well, Noah built an ark to save his family. So how do we walk faithfully with God? Well, I think Noah's life shows us a couple of really important pillars that we need to have in our life to walk with God faithfully. The first one is this, that Noah knew how to hear from God. Think about this. You are in a relationship with God. God wants to, not that he needs to, but he desires to be in relationship with you, and he wants to communicate with you. That's amazing. That doesn't make sense. It's amazing that the God of the universe, the God who created it and spoke these stars into existence, is interested in you and everything that is going on in your world right now. Now, you're listening and thinking, well, how do you hear from God? Now, I'm not talking today about that kind of creepy audible voice and shouting. God actually speaks to us a lot more subtly than that. And I want to give you three things to help you to learn how to hear from God. So I think you'll agree, if ever there was a time that we needed to hear from God, how we are to walk faithfully, how we are to raise our families, how we are to make decisions in our businesses, it's now. First thing is this, is quite obviously, listen. Listen to God. You say, that's so basic, that's so simple. I think in reality, if we're being honest, it's not that simple. There is so much in our minds and our worlds that are trying to get our attention that we need to be intentional that we have meaningful time where we hear from God. How do you do that? Well, first of all, you plan. You make it a priority and you say that this point on this day, I am going to spend time just me and God. And then you pause. And in that, you're setting aside the hindrances, the distractions, and you're just focusing on God. And for some people, it helps to listen to worship music to calm themselves. For others, it's just silence. You'll know what works for you. And then you pray. You begin to talk to God. And you might say things, how much you appreciate God and you're thankful for what he's done. And then you'll just invite him to speak to you. And when you do that, it's important that you learn how to recognize God's voice. See, some people think that God is an angry God that's shouting and unhappy with this. Actually, God's not like that. He's not a distant God that needs to raise his voice so that you can hear him. He's a near God. Remember the prophet Elijah? Remember when God was speaking to him and first of all there came a wind, but God wasn't in the wind. Then there came an earthquake, and God wasn't in the earthquake. Then fire came. God wasn't in the fire. The Bible tells us that God was in the gentle whisper because God is near to you. Believer, the very presence of God is surrounding you right now. Do you realize it? Are you aware of it? He wants to speak to you. God is whispering to you because he's near to you. We've just got to do the work to make sure that we get rid of all the distractions so that we can hear what he is saying to us. So we've got to listen, we've got to learn, but this final point I think is really important because I think people sometimes get confused about what God sounds like. God is a God of love. He loves you. He wants to build you up and encourage you. He wants to give you strength and support to make it every single day. See, sometimes we get confused between condemnation and conviction. What do I mean by that? Well, believer, first and foremost, if you are in Christ, the Bible declares there is no condemnation. Condemnation is that when you feel guilty about things that happened in your past. That's what your enemy will do. He'll bring up things that you used to do, experiences that, why am I thinking about that just now? Why have you brought that back to my mind? That's the enemy trying to discourage you. You know, the Bible says that when you come to Jesus, you confess your sins, he is faithful to forgive you. The psalmist declared that your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. They are under the blood of Jesus. They are forgotten about. But your enemy will come and remind you of all those negative things. That is condemnation. Whilst conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. And that's what helps us to get back in step and to grow and mature in our walk with God. That's when the Holy Spirit comes to us and says, you know, that's not good what you're doing. You need to deal with that. You need to overcome that. You need to address it. Sometimes it's to stop doing things. Other times it's to start doing things that are more helpful for us and leads us to walk faithfully with God. You know, there's something called a phantom pain. If you've ever met someone who's had a limb amputated, they'll call it a phantom pain when they sense that if it was their arm, that they feel their arm moving, but their arm's not there anymore. That's the nervous system playing a trick on the brain. Something that's been removed, you feel like it's still there. That's condemnation. Something that's been removed from you comes back and makes you think that it's still there. That's the enemy. And I just sense this morning as you're listening, there could be someone who's feeling condemned. Something that keeps coming back. You need to remind yourself that the power of the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from that. You are free in Christ Jesus. You can live in freedom and you can know the power that will help you to overcome. So how do we hear from God? Well, it's important that we recognize what God sounds like, how he speaks to us. And how do we do that practically? Well, sometimes it's just through reading his word. You know, God will never contradict his written word. And other times, it's when you have a conversation with another believer who knows God's word. And he helps you to understand what God is maybe trying to say to you at this point. You know, it's so important that we learn to hear from God. But the second thing that Noah's life teaches us is that we need to learn how to follow God. It's one thing to know what God is saying. That's the first step. But the second step is actually to obey what God is telling you to do. And that takes faith. That's the difficult point. Now, obedience is one of those words that has this negative connotation, but actually, it's a very life-giving and positive thing. Biblical obedience, first of all, begins with love. God loves you. Jesus loves you. In fact, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey my commands. And then added on to love in this equation is trust in action. When God tells you to do something, you know that he's coming from a position of love towards you, and it's your responsibility to trust him and then put that into action. How does Noah do that? God tells him to build an ark. And Noah goes and builds an ark. That is the physical evidence of his faith in God. I wonder, how can you demonstrate your faith in God? What can you do in your life today that you say, yeah, I have faith in God, not just in my words, but also in my actions? I wonder what that looks like for you today. I wonder, is there something that you could do practically that's going to take risk, that it's going to take faith? Maybe you actually sense God is calling you to do something and speaking to you, but you just haven't moved on that yet. Can I encourage you to be like Noah and be a person of faith, and that you can actually see the physical evidence of your faith? So he didn't only just hear from God, he obeyed God. But his obedience was a choice. You know, in the great story of the flood, it's amazing how God brings all of those animals towards the ark. It's incredible. Noah didn't have to run around the world and try and find all these different animals. God brought them to the ark. See, God is in control of creation. But with humans, he gave us free will that we have to choose to obey him. And when we choose to obey him, it's not just for the short term, it's a long-term commitment. 120 years before that rain came, he chose to obey God, not just in the short term, but in the long term. Maybe there's something that you're going through right now and it feels like it's never coming to pass. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Keep on trusting God. Keep your faith in God. He's not forgotten you. He is with you and he is for you. And finally, if we're being truthful, to be able to walk faithfully with God for your whole life, it's impossible to do that in your own strength. You need God's grace. What is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God. God desires to give to you what you don't deserve. You know what doesn't make sense? Grace. Think about this. God comes into this world, dies on a cross, the perfect one, for a sinful person like me. He takes the penalty that I deserve, the punishment that I deserve, so that I can be forgiven and that I can spend eternity with God forever. That doesn't make sense. That's why grace is amazing. That's what we know as saving grace. Paul says that it's by grace you are saved through faith. That's saving grace. And in a couple of moments, I want to give you an opportunity to experience that grace. But the Bible also tells us about a sustaining grace. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians through the troubles and struggles that he had in his life that Jesus spoke to him. And remember, he heard from God. It's why it's important to hear from God. And he said these things to him. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weaknesses. Therefore, I will boast all the more about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me." You know, God has given you grace for every single day. This grace is the power, the empowerment to live a life of an overcomer. You need that to walk faithfully with God. Now, you don't need to go through this life walking alone. When you're walking with God, he is beside you and gives you everything that you need for every single day. Well, can I ask you this? When it comes to the end of your life and your family are paying tribute to you, what do you want your family to say? What do you want your family to say about you? How you made them feel? How you loved them? How you spent time with them? You know, Noah built an ark for the saving of his family. His decision to hear from God and to obey God influenced the people around him. You know, can I speak to parents, grandparents today? We have an incredible responsibility. And I believe it's a gift from God, but it is a responsibility as well that we show those around us what it looks like to walk with God faithfully, to be someone who loves God, who hears from God, who gives him the rightful place in our lives. When we do that, I think that should be attractive to those that are around us. Those that are in our households and those that are in our families should look at us and go, whatever they've got, I need to have that in my life. What are you building for your family? Have you got so focused and trying to get everything perfect, making sure you've got everything that they'll ever need, that you've neglected probably what is of most importance, your relationship with God? I want to speak to you today and I want to encourage you, the best thing that you can do for those that are around you, coming up behind you, is to walk with God faithfully, to listen to what he's saying, to obey what he's telling you to do, and to rely on His grace to help you through. I want to give you an opportunity today, if you've listened to me and you've recognized that you're not in a place where you can hear from God because you've never started a relationship with God. I want to give you that opportunity right now. You know, the Bible described Noah in 2 Peter as a preacher of righteousness. The people that lived with Noah had 120 years to make a choice to heed the warning, but they didn't. They just lived their own lives according to their own desires. You've got the opportunity right now to make the decision to start a relationship with God. God has done everything that He possibly can to get your attention. I don't think it's a mistake that you are watching this right now. And I want to give you an opportunity to say, I want to start a relationship with God. I recognize the things that I've done in my life I'm not proud of, but I want a fresh start. Well, you get that when you get to know Jesus. He promises that all those sins, all those things that you feel guilty about, He promises to forgive you. And He promises you a new life. And even greater, this is grace, He promises that you'll spend eternity with Him forevermore. If you're watching me today and you say, Daniel, I want to start a relationship with God, can you just repeat these words sincerely from your heart? Just a very simple prayer, a very simple word that just start a relationship which will go on throughout this whole life and into eternity. Just say these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank You that You came into this world. You lived a perfect life. You went to the cross in my place for my sin. I recognize I'm a sinner. I ask You to forgive me of my sin. Make me into a new person by the power of Your Spirit. Help me to follow You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer right now, you've just started a relationship with God, and we want to help you as you begin that journey of walking with God every single day. So can you help us by just sending us a message in the chat, like I just prayed that prayer, or maybe on Facebook Messenger, or an email to info@apexcenter.org.uk. We'll connect with you and we'll help you to start that relationship. Parents, grandparents, in fact, maybe you haven't started your family yet, but you need to make these decisions right now that I'm going to walk faithfully with God because I want to be a positive influence to those around me and live such a life that is attractive to others because they see Jesus in me. If that's you, I want to pray for you because I recognize it's not easy. I'm on that journey myself and we need God's grace to empower us to live that life. Father, I pray in Jesus' name for family leaders, for parents, for grandparents, Lord, even for those today that maybe haven't started their family, but they're making a choice right now that they are going to walk faithfully with God. Oh, I pray that You would give them the grace every single day that they need. Lord, when the challenges and the troubles, when the prolonged situations come, Father, I'm praying that You will empower them with the grace that You have for them. Give them the wisdom. Give them the power. Give them everything that they need. And Lord, I pray that each one would take the time to hear from You, that they would listen to what You are saying, and give them the faith to obey Your commands. So Father, I just pray that You would infuse everyone that's listening to me with supernatural grace and that You would empower them for this life. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to prepare our hearts now for communion, an opportunity for us to examine our lives, ask those questions, to allow the Holy Spirit to convict us, to help us to walk faithfully with God.